Hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, a podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions about writing, comedy, life, and listeners, love. And we try to get answers on all of those things, and we mostly don't on any of them. I am one half of your show, comedian, writer, author, historian, late in life flower enthusiast Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I am a writer, I'm a husband, a father, a tiny dancer in your head.
Wow.
Yeah, and I would say the owner of a big fat heart that doesn't quit.
Wow.
Yeah.
You feel good about all that?
I'm going to keep it. I mean, so as good as I've ever felt about anything else I do. Thanks to Raycon Wireless Earbuds for supporting Quick Question. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/QQ.
All right. Well, this is the show where we ask each other questions and give each other answers. But before we get into the meat of the show, we've been checking in with each other on specifically quarantine updates. Soren, do you have any quarantine updates for me?
Soren's garden update. Yeah, I've got some garden stuff I could talk to you about.
Okay.
I just planted again today. I'm going to try out some watermelon. And I've also got some kale that I bought. And I had my first tomato. I ate it.
That's exciting.
It was good. It was really, it felt great to have grown something that I could eat.
I have a genuine question about watermelon. How long does it take to grow a watermelon from like sperm to worm, I guess, like the full spectrum?
Yeah, I don't know. I imagine probably about 40 days, but I have no idea.
40 days?
Yeah. Goodness, once you start to see it, no, I mean like once you actually start like a flat, what will happen is a flower will form, then the flower will start to turn into the fruit, presuming that it got fertilized. And then from that point, I think it's probably about, I don't know, they grow fast. Maybe like 30 days after that.
I assumed a watermelon took minimum 18 months.
No, because then you'd never have them grow in places like Minnesota or anywhere where it freezes at all.
Well, that's exciting.
I'm growing eggplants too.
Do you like eggplants?
No, I hate it. I hate it. The majority of the things I'm growing, I hate, Daniel. I don't like tomatillos. Okay. I don't like cucumber. I don't like eggplant, and I'm growing all of them.
Okay. Why?
Those were
because the science agrees. The consensus is still vegetables good.
Yeah, because those were the ones. So a friend of mine from work gave me a couple of young seedlings for the cucumber and the eggplant, and actually the tomatillo as well. He was like, "Which do you want any of these?" And we did an exchange where I gave him some worm tea, which I've discussed on previous podcasts.
Right.
And I was like, "Yeah, just I've got these garden boxes, and I'm not doing anything with them. Just give them to me, and I'll grow them." And I'm pretty pleased with the fact that I'm growing them. I like looking at them. I hate them. I don't like tasting them. I'm trying to grow things I do like strawberry. I can't grow it. Strawberry is supposed to be the easiest thing in the world to grow. I don't know if you remember playing Sim Farm when you were young, but strawberry is like, that's your starter fruit. And the seeds will gain no purchase in my garden.
Fascinating. Why?
I don't know. I mean, if I knew, I'd be growing it. I grew one by accident underneath my jalapeno plant. Where I planted them, they're not growing, but I think maybe like some seed got accidentally scattered over by the jalapeno. And now there's like a tiny one over there, but maybe I planted them too deep. Maybe I'm watering them too much. I don't know. Giving them too much love could be it.
That sounds like a likely problem for you.
But I'm also building shit again, Daniel.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Carpenter update.
All right. Finally.
Yeah. I rebuilt the base of my bed. It was getting very creaky and bad. And so I did some restructuring work. And that fits. That's that feels much better now. 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. So long time.
So do you want to do that math? I know you struggle with it sometimes.
10 and then 11, 12, 12 years.
Yeah, you got there.
Okay, good. Now I'm going to put my phone down then. I almost pulled out the calculator surreptitiously, but I guess I don't need to do that. And yeah, then we have these garden boxes, obviously, where I'm obviously bringing life into the world. But my son has taken over one to just be like this dirt box he plays in. And I want him to have his own dirt box so that I can have that garden back. And I built him a new garden box that looks just like the other one. So aesthetically, it's the same, but it's his. Right. Then I've got all the wood right behind me for a brand new bench that I'm going to put out in the front. But that's a big project.
Yeah. How long do you think it's going to take?
It'll take me a week, maybe a little more.
Okay.
Yeah. So I went to a woodworking store and realized, oh, these tools would certainly make the job easier for me than I'm currently doing. There's like wood planers and their table saws. You put the wood down and then you pull the saw through it. So you're getting a straight cut no matter what. The saw is just on a track and you pull the saw through it. You get your straight cut, or chop saw even, which is one of the ones where it comes down almost like a paper cutter. I don't have either of those. I just have a table saw and I'm just sort of by eye guiding a giant 16-foot piece of wood through it. And the table it's on is about 2.5 feet. So obviously there's less sticking off on either end. At any point, as soon as it gets further enough through the table saw, it just splits and falls in both directions. It's not precise. I have to make up a lot of different things to deal with that along the way, but I don't know.
Do you buy wood assuming some of it might be like burner wood that you just like that falls apart while you're cutting it?
I assume I will make mistakes, but I don't buy a ton of extra wood. Sometimes I'll buy an extra board, but usually you can sort of like fix your mistakes a little. You can fudge it. Or just if you're all of a sudden you've made one cut and it's completely wrong, you're like, well, this bench is just going to be shorter. And then you cut all the other ones that short as well. The really, really tough part for me is to get the wood home, I don't have a truck. So if I go buy lumber, I got to know that I can get it into my car. Or I have to like rent a truck from Anna Walt or Home Depot or whatever. And so I have to do the math. I have to make sure that I don't need like that board to be 8 feet for any particular reason. Like I need to know that if I cut it in a 10 foot board in the middle, I can use both those 5 foot pieces. And I'm not just like scrapping one because I needed a 6 foot on one side. So like doing that math and figuring out like out of a piece of wood, how am I going to maximize every single piece is just, you would love to watch it. I'm a nightmare. I'm just like, to do math on a piece of paper.
Is there anything you can do with like the excess pieces, like just the edges that you're cutting off? Just like,
yes.
You know, 4-inch by 4-inch chunks of wood.
Yeah. Are you asking, do I treat the wood like a Indian treats the buffalo, like a Native American treats the buffalo?
Absolutely. That is what I'm asking. Yes.
I try and use all of it. And sometimes I'll have scrap wood, then I save. And when I fuck up a later project, I can go, okay, well, let's see if I have anything close. And I'll go find a piece of wood in my scrap wood that's like, oh, okay, this will work. I had to do that a few times on this garden box. I save all of it. Even the wooden slats from my bed previously, I still have all those because I'm like, oh, I could build a trellis out of these.
Good Lord.
I know. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to be this good at stuff, you know?
I don't have anything anywhere near that interesting. The most exciting thing for me is I left New York. I took a road trip to Portland, Maine, because they're doing a little bit better with the quarantine than we are here in New York. and I wanted to experience that for a little bit.
That's way more exciting than building a dirt box. How long was the drive?
6 hours.
You rented a car for this?
No, actually, there's a car like that's in my family that no one is using. My parents, who live in North Carolina, store this car in New Jersey at my brother's house. And they want it there so they can use it whenever they're visiting family up here. And I just recently decided, no, this is mine now and I'm taking it. So I took it and I drove to Portland. And there's a lot of great things to say about Portland that we can talk about and about Maine that we can talk about. But I also truly loved driving in a car, which I haven't done in like a year and a half.
That's right.
And I was so happy singing and screaming in a car.
What?
And I didn't realize how much I write by talking to myself in a car and how therapeutic it is to like scream and sing.
That's basically where I was getting with asking like what kind of car you were in and stuff like that. I wanted you to paint a scene so that I could see whether there was a CD player there, what you were listening to, and then also if you mastered any accents along the way.
I didn't master any accents. The car was equipped with XM radio. And so I got re-equipped with two things. One of them was I listened to, if you're familiar with XM, there's like a whole library of comedy to listen to. There's Raw Dog, there's Laugh USA, there's Kevin Hart, LOL, there's Netflix as a joke. There's a bunch of comedy stations to listen to. Jim Gaffigan has his own station now. And I listened to a bunch of comedy and realized, oh man, this is like super male and super kind of gross.
I was going to ask, when you listen to Raw Dog, do you feel like you're the target demographic of that radio station?
It sucks. You flip around and it's like Neil Brennan talking about tracking down women and assaulting them. And then I was like, oh, this is bad. Let me skip around to Gabriel Iglesias. And he's doing the same thing. I'm like, oh, no.
You've got Nick DiPaolo talking about if you live in America, you should be speaking American. I'm like, oh shit. Wait, well, let me check the date on this one. Oh, 2019.
I've been listening to comedy nonstop for 2.5 hours and I've heard one woman. This sucks. This is real bad. But the other thing I listened to was the Broadway station, the musical station, which is I want to say XM 72 and Soren, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I'm going to write that down so I can listen to it. That's perfect. Thank you.
Yeah. I think I liked it because I wanted to sing along in my car and listen to a bunch of Broadway songs. And I didn't bring enough of my own CDs to play or anything like that. So I was just listening to a random selection of Broadway, but, a funny and kind of sad thing that I learned about it is that because it's Broadway XM, no one is really listening to it, especially like the interstitials between the songs. Like no one cares who's hosting or what they're doing. So the hosts are allowed to get away with being incredibly vulnerable and earnest, and B, not entirely interesting. And that's what I found in my long drives listening to the Broadway XM station, where there's this woman who's hosting, Christine, who seems wonderful. But there are two things that stick out in my head. One of them, she just finished the song Turkey Lurkey, which is an old Broadway hit. And she was like, Turkey Lurkey, that reminds me of Thanksgiving. And I was just wondering if we're going to have a normal Thanksgiving this year. I just don't think that we are. I think that we'll still be trapped. We'll still be isolated. We'll still be alone. Anyway, this next song is from Oklahoma. And she played a few more songs, then came back again in an interstitial and was like, that was a great song. I just wanted to pop in and say, I visited a friend of mine recently and my friend brought their three-month-old baby, and I touched the baby's foot, and just feeling the baby's sweet, innocent foot in my fingers, it felt so good, and I realized I hadn't touched another human since March 15th, and I know that everyone's going through a hard time in quarantine, but it's extra hard for people who are living alone in quarantine and not touching other people. And anyway, this next song is from the last 5 years. And I'm like, yo, does anyone got fucking eyes on Christine?
Yeah, Christine is drawing herself a bath, putting Christine's the toaster delicately on the edge.
Blow her brains out. What's going on? Someone check on this one.
Christine, putting a little bit of toast in the toaster just in case. So make it look sort of like an accident, maybe. Maybe she wants some toast in the bath.
It's like the tax report says she had toast at 6 p.m.
Oh, that's bad. Oh, somebody should have checked on this woman. Well, that's true of all of them, I think. I mean, I haven't been listening to it as much during quarantine because I have nowhere to drive. But I remember being, before this all happened, I would listen to like the 90s on 9 or whatever. They have like a station for every single decade. And yes, they're way past the hits. I mean, they are so deep in it that you won't recognize a single song on these stations. There's like this B-side Toad the Wet Sprocket that they'll play 46 times. And right. It's always somebody who's like, they've let somebody in the booth who's, you're like, you're in charge for the next 4 hours. And they're like, great, I get to play all my stuff. And every single time we come back to them, they're enthusiastic about their music in a way that is just not interesting in the least. No. Like they're pumped about it. They want to talk, but I've never heard people who are just more like wooden posts that are allowed to have a speaking role.
Right. It's like we have 24 hours to fill. You have 4 hours of that 24 hours to talk about music that happened in the 50s. Fucking go.
Yeah. It's not like Jonesy's Jukebox where it's like he's slow talker, but he tells really interesting stories about Sex Pistols and stuff. These people, they are just fans of music their whole life. They got so deep in the weeds that they assume everybody else likes these deep, deep cuts. And I don't like them. I don't know what we're listening to. I don't care when you come back and you tell me a story about how Rod Stewart once saw Peter Gabriel on the road and they waved. Like, who the fuck cares? But anyway, I listen to Raw Dog sometimes as well. And, you know, they do have some, to their credit, they've got like some good people on there. There are some comedians on there that I genuinely like now and that I found through them. But boy, there's also just some real trash on there. And then all the ads are for the worst dudes in the world. It's clear absolutely. I'm not the guy for that. Hey, everybody. I don't know what your home life is like, but where I live, I've got a child. And occasionally, even though you're not supposed to, I let my child watch a lot of TV during quarantine. And what that means is that I want to do my own thing during that time. That means working out. That means reading. I use my Raycon earbuds. Whether you're working from home or working on your fitness, you want what you're listening to be what you're listening to, not what your family is listening to. Everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. We teamed up with Raycon and they are offering 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/QQ. What I like most about my Raycons is that they stay in my ears no matter what I'm doing. I've got a pretty unique and weird fitness regimen. I won't get into it now, but suffice to say that like the most mainstream version, the thing that I do is burpees. And burpees, that's a lot of jostling in your head. I hang upside down sometimes. There's a lot going on. But what I like about my Raycons is they just stay in my ears no matter what I'm doing out there. I really appreciate that. And unlike some of your other wireless options, Raycon earbuds are both stylish and they're discreet with no dangling wires or stems to distract anyone from video calls or whatever you happen to be doing. My wife frequently comes up and just starts talking to me while I've got my Raycons in because she can't see them. The company was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Snoop Dogg, Melissa Etheridge, Brandy, J.R. Smith, Mike Tyson, Rich the Kid, they're obsessed with Raycons. Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. The newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are the best ones yet. With 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that gives you a nice, noise isolating fit. I love them because I can go anywhere in the house, no matter where my phone is, and they're not going to start getting that weird delay or start skipping or anything like that. They're just a seamless, nice sound no matter where you go. Get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/QQ. That's buyraycon.com/QQ for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/QQ.
But other than listening to Sirius on the drive, Portland was very nice.
Oh, yeah,
I had a good time. I ate a whole lot of lobster, which was nice. And this is not romantic, but I met a woman, Soren. No sound from you whatsoever when I say that.
Well, you've prefaced it with not romantic. And then I thought that happens every day that you meet women who.
No, but like I'm in love with her.
Okay. Okay.
Also not very exciting.
I'm just.
Okay. So
everything's kind of clicking into place.
So I took a boat trip. It was initially supposed to be a sunset cruise, but the sun was not out this particular day, so the captain just said, like, what do you guys want to do otherwise? We can see a bunch of lighthouses, or we can like tour the Casco Bay, or we could do whatever. And we were like, lighthouses. It was me and three couples and one 58-year-old woman to paint the picture of this cruise. And we just went to go see a bunch of lighthouses. And I talked to this gal, this lady who was like a helper on this boat. And I was like, hey, I'm Daniel. I'm new here. I want to know what I'm supposed to do in Maine because I've never been here before. And she said, well, I just moved here 30 days ago. I just moved in on a whim. So I don't really know too much about the area. I was like, oh, but you already have a job here on this boat, so that's nice. You're a helper on this boat, so you managed to find employment quickly, which is neat. And she's like, well, this is my second job. I actually work at the hospital. I'm a sonographer working in the cardiac department. So I'm doing sonograms of people with heart conditions and helping them out. And then I took this cruise early in my time here in Maine and fell in love with it so much that I asked the owners for a job, and then they hired me. So this is my second job. I work in the hospital most days of the week, and then on weekends, I moonlight on this boat because I love being on boats and being on the ocean so much. What do you do? And I was like, I used to work writing and television, but then I quit and I moved to Maine. What the fuck? This sounds great.
A fellow seafarer, Daniel.
I said I write for television, and then we didn't talk anymore.
Oh, well, she wasn't impressed by it. The skipper wasn't impressed by that.
She was not. I was like, I write for a political comedy show called Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and she's like, what's it on? And I said HBO, and she said, is it on anything else?
Yeah, bitch, YouTube. Like,
yeah, I was like, you know, like sometimes they put it on YouTube on Mondays. I don't know.
That's amazing. I love that you got big time to buy a skipper in Maine. Okay. Was this woman pretty, Dan?
She was.
Yeah. Okay. You're in love.
Yeah. No, it's fine.
And so did she like say, I'll take you around Maine? Or was she just like, I don't fucking know. I just moved here. Find your own way.
No, it was very much, I don't fucking know. Find your own way. Like not that rude or anything, but I was like, what should I do while I'm here? And she's like, oh my God, you have to get gelato. And I'm like, oh, I'm lactose intolerant. And she's like, ah.
This is exactly your type. A woman out at sea who's unapproachable, emotionally cold to you, and who doesn't give a shit about your job.
Yeah. out loud, not interested. <Is it? laughs>
Yeah, that's. I'm surprised you're even back and doing the show with me, honestly. That you didn't just like buy a cabin up there and you were like, I'm going to win her.
Yeah, I was like, I can't do the show anymore. I got this other thing. Oh, is it work? No, it's not work. It's a life thing.
I'm going to get a job on this boat, I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's obviously that's not the end goal.
It sounds like you're just giving jobs away on this boat.
Also, I like this tour a lot that like you guys get on the boat and the guy's like, all right, well, what the fuck do you guys want to do? You're like, I didn't realize we were making the decisions here. I guess and lighthouses. Then we
did this tour and I talked to this woman who I assumed was going to be our guide. And I was like, what's that thing over there? And she was like, I don't know. Great. Do you want to get married or what? What's the thing? What are your plans? Kids.
I want to like give you an out here, Dan. This woman might very well be in witness protection.
That's fair. That's totally fair.
Because you don't move to Portland in the middle of your life without a plan. And unless, go there.
Unless you do. Unless you do.
Unless you go there to see about a girl.
The only other very exciting thing that happened to me on this trip was that I went to Orchard Beach in Maine, which is a very nice beach. And then I popped over for lobster roll at a very nice little shack called, I think, The Mist. And there was a person doing cover songs on his acoustic guitar. And he was very good. I don't know his name. And he played, among other things, a cover of Jimmy Eat World's The Middle. Aww. And at the end of it, so if you know that song, it ends, I mean, the chorus is, it takes some time, little girl, you're in the middle of the line, everything will be all right, everything will be all right. And when he sang that at the end of the song, a woman at the table adjacent to mine said very earnestly, so true. And I had to leave because it was so funny to me that a woman listening to a cover of a song from 2001 that just says everything will be all right and then genuinely responding, so true. I was like, nah, I can't go. I can't be here. I have to leave.
So it sounds like, as far as like quarantine precautions, is everybody here wearing masks or are you guys just, it's just so not even an issue there that life is back to normal?
A lot of people are wearing masks. Maine has had so few cases. They've been very safe the entire stretch of this. So the state is more open than certainly New York and New Jersey at this point. They're also, every time you go to, they're not doing indoor seating. They're still doing outdoor seating everywhere. And anytime you go anywhere, they're taking your name and number so they can do contract tracing, which is very
cool.
Inspiring. They don't do that here. Do they do that in LA?
No. Well, you know what? I have no idea because I don't do anything. I go to get the dentist. I don't go to bars or anything like that or into libraries or anywhere I don't have to go. So I guess I assume they don't.
They don't take your number at Anawalt?
They do not take my number at Anawalt. Well, that's cool. That's good that they're doing that. But they let a New Yorker in.
Yeah.
And that's not great. You didn't have to sign new papers or anything to get into Maine.
No, it's a good faith understanding that you're COVID free.
Okay. And I've been to Portland before. Did it rain the entire time you were there?
It didn't rain at all. It rained when I left on the drive home.
Okay. And you went out, did you go out on any lakes?
No, is like Casco Bay a lake?
I have no idea. It's just a bay. Yeah. Bay. It's sort of like a lake. It's like half a lake. Okay. So one other question, was it just bitterly cold there, even though for the time of year, like every single day you're like, wow, it's actually pretty cold.
No, it was super hot. The only thing that was cold was the ocean. I grew up obviously in New Jersey, and like East Coast summer ocean is it like warms up, but Maine, it just stays cold. And I went in there the one time I went to the ocean and was like, oh, it's cold, but I'll get used to it. And I just never fucking did. It just like stayed cold the whole time. Like this is not pleasant.
Yeah, they've got those, and they have those like rocky beaches up there. It's not like you're just chilling on the sand. You're playing out in the water and you're kind of delicately walking over pebbles and stuff. I remember that from being there. But I also, I'm surprised we had very different Portland experiences, because I went there for a wedding.
When were you there?
I was there in like probably this time of year, maybe September. And I got there, stayed in a cabin, and the cabin had a little wood-burning stove. And we're like, oh, how quaint. Maybe there'll be a night we make a fire. And then it just rained the entire time we were there. And it was so, so cold the entire time that it was just me like shoving wood into this fire every 2 hours. So you're lucky, I guess. You had a nice Maine experience.
Yeah. Okay. I did, yeah. And it was also like, again, because I've been quarantining since March, it was like everything about it was nice. I like to be in a car and screaming. I like to be in an ocean. I like to be sitting in a place where I can hear live music around other people. And I like to be eating a bunch of food that I don't personally cook. So yeah, all of that was a very welcome change for me.
So that novelty that you probably felt from being out on the road by yourself.
Yes.
That's like a dragon I've been chasing for the last 4 years.
Oh.
Where you have, once you have kids, you don't do that anymore, where you're just you in the car. And there was one time where we went to Tucson for Christmas. Flew there. I mean, drove out there. Thought we'd drive in the middle of the night and Ronan would just sleep through the night. And it was bad. It was a bad trip. He woke up every like 30 minutes, couldn't sleep the whole way and was just crying. And so the way back, Colleen was like, I got to get a flight back. And I was like, that's fine. You two fly and I will drive. And the drive was just like, it was like this exhale of relaxation. I got to travel by myself for 8 hours just out on the road, and I fucking loved it. It was like, I haven't felt like that since I got my license for the first time.
It really is. It's very freeing. I didn't realize until this last trip how much independent riding I do while driving.
Yeah, tell me about
like,
that.
Like I just talk to myself a whole lot while I'm driving and work a lot of shit out, especially listening to the Broadway station, because I've been trying to write a musical for like 8 years now. So I'm listening to a lot of Broadway shows for inspiration and then just like pausing it or muting the station and talking out what I want characters to say. That's a thing that I do not do in my apartment or on a run or walking around the street with my dog. That's apparently only a thing that happens when I'm driving a car. And I did so much of that in the cumulative 12 hours that I was driving to and fro Maine. And, you know, then obviously transcribed it onto paper, but still was like, oh, this is a thing I haven't done in a while. Do you not do that?
No, that's super common. It's like with practiced work. People get it a lot in the shower, but driving is like a really big one where you're that part of your brain that needs to turn off or like have some sort of thing occupying it has its occupation, like it's taken care of. And then the rest of your brain just allows shit to fall into place. So your best ideas come to you while you're doing something else that's just mundane enough that like you can kind of check out while you're doing it. Yeah. I've wondered that about people who live in cities where you don't drive. Like that's a huge part of the creative process is having that time to, I guess maybe you guys get it from walking around. So we don't do that here.
No, yeah, it's tough because you say it like happen. It's very common with driving or showering, and I don't do either.
I can't. I'm sure that those things anywhere are
just so I can't write. There's no writing that happens because I don't do the things that produce writing.
Yeah, well, you got to come back to LA, man.
I know.
Maybe last week tonight we'll decide now that you could work remotely. Because this is working out so well, you come back here. We obviously cancel the podcast because we don't need it anymore.
Do you think this is a bigger question? But if American Dad said tomorrow, we're not going to need any writer in the office until 2022. What do you do? What's your move?
I can't move. That would be my first instinct. It's like, great, we're going to Ventura. Like we're going to like some small beach town and we're going to live there. But once you own a house,
you would stay in California.
I don't think I have a choice. I own a house here. My son is in school here. And so we moved to a school district specifically because it's like a good public school. And if we took him out of that, he loses his slot, even though we live in the neighborhood. So the guarantee that I'm coming back in 2022 means, we don't have, we just have to stay. We can't just run away.
I mean, it's not running away, just going somewhere else. Quickly. Far from home.
Sprinting there.
I would love to go to like Colorado. I'd love to live in Denver for a little bit, but that's just not in the cards. What are you gonna do? Well, if John Oliver said, "Crikey, you guys don't need to come in." No, it's Australian.
Right. Immediately,
hey,
correct,
mates. Yeah. Hey, mates.
Does he ever say there? If John Oliver was like, "Oi, bruv!
Oi, bruv!
Right in it."
Oh, it's a while to try. Yeah, if he said that you could move away till 2022, are you going back to Maine? Where are you going?
No, I would do the most sensible thing I could do, which is end my lease here in Manhattan and couch surf or live with my parents for a year and save up to buy a house somewhere. Which is a very boring answer, but it's not to look at the pandemic as an opportunity, but if I was in a position where I could make a Manhattan salary but not have to live in Manhattan, I would take it and use that money more sensibly than paying for Manhattan rents.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I also don't know that you have a lot of options other than that, because you can't leave the country. There's like three other countries you could go to, and I don't think you're interested in going to Turkey. And
no,
you can't just like cruise around the US and see all the little diners and what the every city has to offer, because you're not allowed out. So yeah. And the idea of like going from city to city makes me very anxious right now. I don't know you have a lot of options. I think you just pick a city and you go there.
Right. No, I could stay here or I can move in with someone that is close to me and save money. And like staying here doesn't seem too great because I love Manhattan for a tremendous amount of things, but not when it's shut down.
Yeah.
Not when you can't go to Broadway or restaurants or music. Just a fucking hot, shitty sweat box right now. And I've been, this is a dumb and dorky thing to talk about on this podcast that we can just sort of breeze by, but I mentor a bunch of writers, and one of them, she's a young playwright living in Colorado who was like, I want to move forward in this business. I'm writing a bunch of plays that just get produced in Colorado and New Mexico from friends, and I want to like advance further in my career. What advice do you have? And I was like, I don't know, I'm writing in New York for a long time so that I can eventually move to Colorado and write plays that my friends produce. What are you talking about? Your life sounds great.
Yeah, but like, then you'd have to go to that. If you actually, theoretically, yes, but if you went to those little community theaters and you saw what was happening, you'd be like, oh, no, I can't stay here. I can't be a part of this. The drama of small town theater.
Oh, that sounds like it's coming from a place of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. We did the Aspen Music Tent is where we do plays every summer. And you could be part of this theater camp.
Tent, not even a stage or a theater, but a tent.
It's also fucking quaint. And the Aspen Music Tent is technically a big theater. Well, you know what? No, it's not. I won't say that. I'll pull that back. It is a tent, but it's a pretty big tent. And like big bands come through there. I don't know if you're familiar with Bela Fleck and the Flecktones or the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
I'm not.
Lyle Lovett and his big.
Okay. Julie Roberts' ex-husband.
That's the one. Yeah, they all came through there. So anyway, we used to do plays there. And we would, you work all summer on like the chimney sweep. The little sweep. Isn't that what it's called? Fucking, I don't even know a single play's name. You work all summer on a play.
Who are you asking? Chimney Sweep is a job in the past.
Yeah, I think there's a play called The Little Sweep. And then you work on that all summer, and then you get to perform it. And it's always community theater, so it's like, it's not just you and your classmates, like a school play. You're there with 40-year-old men, too, who are like, this is what they've chosen. This is a clear choice for them, that they're like taking time out of work to be part of this theater.
I don't have any friends that like poker or bowling, so I do this.
And then these, you know, you'll see music teachers from other schools who are like, this is my real passion. And they're willing to cut loose a little bit more than they would at school. And it feels very inappropriate. And then, you know, some of the people are obviously hooking up, forming relationships, and you're a child, so you're only hooking up with like six people. Well, everybody else is hooking up.
When you say you.
Yeah, me. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But yeah, that local like theater scene it's brutal. It's like, there's even as a kid, I knew that it was depressing.
Can I ask you, cause this leads into, a quick question, which we've not done in this entire episode. But Soren, quick question.
Go.
What was the weirdest context in which you'd seen a middle or high school teacher growing up? Because you're talking about doing theater with a bunch of these people.
Yeah, that's a pretty bad one. That one, like being at like a general cast party, not like a cool, we're going to somebody's house afterwards, but just like a general cast party, watching a music teacher get drunk. She wasn't mine. She was like a basalt music teacher, but seeing that was weird. And then I would say that I had a math teacher when I was in sixth grade, and then maybe math, maybe like 12 years later.
I mean, it's got to be either seventh or eighth. Okay.
No, 12 years later, saw her at a grocery store while I was buying condoms.
Oh.
Yeah. Like they're on the belt. She's the person in front of me, and it doesn't click yet that's Mrs. Astro. And then we see each other, and she remembers me.
Her name was Mrs. Astro?
Zastro.
Zastro? I guess that's better.
Yeah, running into Mrs. Astro while buying condoms. That was tough. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I was always sort of hurt when I would encounter teachers again from long ago, and they were like, I don't have a shred of memory of who you are. And I'm like, that can't be true. I was a presence. I took up space. What about you?
I was one of the Sorens. this is less an encounter of a teacher in the wild and more of an encounter of reality. Like we had a hot teacher, you know? You know how you have hot teachers?
I do.
I don't want to say her name because I don't want to out her, but it was also like a very hot name. It's insane how perfectly the fates aligned for this. And she got in a terrible car accident, like my junior year of high school, that put her in a hospital for a very long time. And like they had to shave her head. And she eventually came back to school with a like obviously a dramatically cut hair situation. And it was like an incredibly humanizing thing, because it was like, hot teacher, everyone knows hot teacher, that's fun, we like the hot teacher. And it was like, hot teacher got in a car accident. It was like, oh no, hot teacher, how's hot teacher? And it was a very like mature moment for us, where it was like, before this moment, all I wanted to do was see this teacher naked. And now all I want to do is make sure she's okay.
Right. You realize.
And when she comes back, I want to treat her with respect.
That's like a great coming of age story. Where's that novel about like the kid? It looks like it might happen with this teacher. Like this kid is like, he's on the verge of what he thinks might be a relationship with this teacher. He couldn't be more wrong, obviously. And then the teacher's in some sort of accident. Okay, maybe
right,
not.
Also, for all the people who are like, super hot teacher, oh no, she got in an accident. And then she comes back and she has short hair and like a scar on her head. A lot of students were still like, oh yeah, she's the hot teacher still. It was like, great,
yeah,
no lesson learned.
We had a Spanish teacher who had really beautiful long hair, and she was gorgeous. That she cut it all off, and she was so much hotter, like in this way where it was like nearly shaved head. And oh my God, all these kids, it was just like spring awakening for all these young boys. And I guess some girls as well, where they were like, oh, that's the sexiest person I've ever seen in my life. Yeah. So no lesson learned there. Dan, I do have a quick question for you.
Oh, you
this
do?
One shouldn't
right.
take too long. Yeah. What do you do with your tongue at the dentist? You got your mouth open and they're rooting around doing some work. What are you doing with your tongue during that time? Are you conscious of it?
I'm super conscious of it. I'm so worried.
I thought you would be.
I'm very worried that you know what the right thing to do is, because if I'm being totally honest, most of what I do with my tongue at the dentist is apologize. Because the dentist, like everyone else in my fucking life, tells me to relax.
Your tongue just doing a meek little wave?
No, my tongue is doing fucking squats and lifts. And they're like, hey, just like, I need your tongue to not do anything. And I'm like, I know, but it's not... I'm not in control of what happens with this guy.
Because I went to the dentist recently and thought about it. I was like, I bet Dan is fucked with this. Like, this has been a real issue for him.
Why? What do you do? Also, do we have, for listeners, Soren and I famously had the same dentist for like 4 years. Do you still work with Dr. Farooz Badri?
No. I go to a
You have a new dentist?
Yes. Yeah. That one was just
a traitor
from work. Yeah, she liked this a lot. But I was at the dentist and I was like thinking about it, because I think about it, nothing else when I'm sitting in that chair than is my tongue in the way. So like it's just hugging the other wall. Wherever they're working, I'm doing as much as I can to turn it into a wallflower in my mouth, where like, you wouldn't even know it was there. At some point, what would make me the happiest is that the dentist was like, oh my goodness, you do have a tongue. Wow. Like, surprise.
God, I envy your control. I have a fucking wild beast on the seas. This thing goes everywhere and answers to no one.
Well, that's my worry.
It's thick and violent.
If I don't think about it for a second, it's, you know, it's good, game over. And I don't want to send any weird signals with my tongue either. I don't want it slapping around in there like, hey, like a tentacle. Yeah.
just like, hey, look at me. And so I have to focus on it the entire time and make sure I know, okay, if it's on that side, I'm going to touch it to these molars over here. And just always trying to get out of the way. They never say anything, which, you know, a little hurtful. But I do my best to like keep it out of the way.
You want them, this is a holdover from being a child going to the dentist. You want them to tell you what a good boy you are and how good of a job you've done. Is that correct?
Is that so hard to ask? I want that every time. I want, they do, they frequently say, these are good teeth, which feels great. But I want them to notice that in the room, I'm performing some real mouth etiquette for them.
Man. No, I'll let my dentist know, hey, this tongue's going to do what it's going to do. It freaks out. I'm not in charge of it. Don't take it personally. He gets nervous.
I think there's probably like 6 or 7 scenarios in your life where you have to preface that your body will do weird things. I like that the dentist is one of them. Because you used to have to do it when we wear spirit gum or we do like any sort of filming. You'd tell the makeup person, this is going to be an issue. Yeah. You should know now. If you put spirit gum on me, I will sweat through it. And that seems impossible, but I promise you I will.
Yeah, and anytime I go to like a club to go dancing, I let the owner know, is like, listen, I'm not fully in charge of what my body does. I do what I think is good dancing, and it always clears a lot of space. But I understand that it's violent and unpredictable. And if you need to get rid of me, I get that.
And then you tell the dental hygienist, well, listen, before we get started, I got a loose animal in my mouth and it's going to try and get out.
Listen, this tongue has an agenda that I don't fully understand. And if I'm being completely honest, my hands do too. So like whatever happens, put me to sleep. Like the quickest way you can knock me out, just do it because none of this is under my jurisdiction. That's the arrangement that I've made out with my entire body.
I thought you might. This might be an issue for you. That's good to know that it is. So my daughter, who's very, very young, has, I think maybe.
How young is she, by the way?
She's about to be 4 months.
Goodness gracious.
She's got her tongue. I'm not sure it fits in her mouth, honestly, because it's always out and just like... it's flexing all the time. You know, you can make your tongue flat or you can make it really skinny and fat.
I mean, I can't my tongue I can't make it do anything, but I understand intellectually what you're talking about.
She's just got like this weird Gene Simmons gene in her where like, it's just like, it's always out of her mouth and it's always doing stuff. It's like, she's showing off somehow. And I'm somewhat concerned that maybe it just doesn't even fit in her mouth because I don't think I've ever seen it in there. But it's not like she just looks like a dumb dog with it like hanging out, like dangling there. She's busy. It's like, it's doing stuff. And that's sort of how I picture yours when you're at the dentist, is just like, it's just flitting around. It's like a butterfly in a shed.
It's very much doing its own thing. And when the dentist is like, can you just tamp that down a little bit? I'm going to be like, don't fucking talk about it. It'll hear you. And then it's going to get fucking crazy.
Yes, that's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted, Daniel.
Good. Oh, Soren. We're going to wrap up the show and I have to find the social media accounts for us and the show itself. And that's going to take me a minute. So
it's fine. We just can cut this part out. We can do that.
I might need you to, sorry. Can't hear you. I might need you to stall for a minute and I have a prompt to help you stall. One of the things that I did when I was in Portland, Maine on vacation is I read a book from Anthony DeMello, 31 different meditations on happiness. And one of the things that he talked about was how one's attachments, both to physical things and to actually people, like a mother, a father, a spouse, a sibling, a child, hold you back from true happiness. And if you get rid of those attachments, you'll actually be happy. And he posed this question that I wanted to pose to you. If you could have either company in prison or walk the earth in freedom all alone, which would you choose and why?
Well, you see, Dan, in the life of a gardener, you deal with irrigation a lot. And with that irrigation, there's a pressure system in the irrigation. So like if you're running pipes to your garden boxes, there's a pressure system. And the more garden boxes you have, the less pressure there is to get to all of them. And so if you have too many garden boxes, obviously, then you're spread too thin and nothing will grow. So instead of just cutting down on your boxes, instead what you need to do is just like regulate which gets your attention when. So you got to like turn off your attention for one thing for a little while and just give it entirely to something else.
And but I think then, what DeMillo would say is then you're depriving yourself of that attention. But like, go on. Continue to lose your freedom.
Yeah. I would say that that's not a true freedom then, right? Because like, you're lonely. What are you doing? You're walking the earth. Who are you sharing that with? If there's no one to witness it and to witness you do it, then did it even really matter at all?
I'm not sharing anything. I'm owning everything.
This is a hard line to walk, Dan, because I can't insult my own family. And then I also don't really want to insult you by shitting on the other side.
Well, the good news is you don't have to do either because I found all the social accounts. You can follow Soren at Soren_LTD or me at DOB_INC. You can email the show, good God, at QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com or find the show on Twitter at twitter.com/QQ_Soren and Dan. You can support us on Patreon if you want. You can support our producer, editor, engineer, spiritual leader, great friend, Gabe at gabeharder.com. Anytime you want, he will record your podcast day or night. Doesn't matter. Gabe, is that true? Is it true what I said? Gabe said yes.
It's a big thumbs up from Gabe. I do you think that we could get into that email account? I wonder what's in there.
Legitimately have no idea. My brother wanted to connect me with another podcast and he legit asked me, he was like, hey, should he just email you at your Gmail or should he send it to like the quick question account? And I was like, I don't fucking know that password. I can't get into that.
I don't think a single human knows that password. But honestly, send all your stuff there. I'd love to read it when we unearth that in like 2025. I'd love to see all the stuff that's in there. A little time capsule. All right, that's it.
Oh, thank God.